using the Sefer Ishei Yisrael as just a framework, and we'll begin at the beginning. The Gemara tells us that when a person recites Kiddush Levana, we actually state this explicitly in the Pesukim and the Divrei Chazal that are included in the Kiddush Levana after the formal introduction, which is the Bracha, that the mitzvah is essentially a form of Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. We're going out to greet Hashem's presence somehow when we go out of our homes, out of our buildings, and we make a bracha upon seeing the moon. And it's an opportunity that's so great that even the fact that we're able to do that just once a month is a tremendous thing. It would be sufficient if we had that privilege even just once a month, and we try to fulfill that in this way through the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana. So it's clearly a very important mitzvah, and the Aruch HaShulchan adds that there's deep Kabbalistic significance to the mitzvah, especially as the shrinking of the moon relates in some way to the Chet of Adam HaRishon. We're going to come back to that. We're going to come back to that in a little while. And we have a tradition that when the latter Avera is completely rectified, so the moon will resume shining like the sun, as it says in Yeshaya Perek Lamed, V'haya Or Alvana Ko'or HaChama, the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. And for more details, we address this last Thursday night in the Rosh Chodesh Shir. So the reason we have a bracha on the moon specifically, more than any other celestial body, it is true there's a Brech Sachama, we say it once every 28 years, is because it's closest to the earth, and as a result, on a more consistent basis, we appreciate the way that it reflects HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation of the lights in Shemayim and his continual involvement in the nature and the system of nature that he put in place. And as a result, it's more than any other bodies that that we're unable to discern their movements, and we also see the changes constantly, almost every day. Su einecha morom ru'umi bar ela. The Navi tells us we're supposed to look in Shemayim and recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's handiwork and his involvement in creation and in driving history. And it's specifically referring to peering at the celestial body so we can see it most prominently and most consistently through the moon. Although once every 28 years, the reason we make the bracha on the moon at that point is because the sun returns to the precise location that it was at the time of creation once every 28 years. But it doesn't have the same significance as far as consistency is concerned. In addition, the other reasons why the moon has this constant bracha once a month, the moon has two unique characteristics that are relevant to us. The fact that it has no light of its own, but instead reflects the light of the sun, is symbolic of the fact that Klal Yisrael, as it were, has no light of its own, and we hold ourselves to that by remembering that the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which shines upon us, which is directed towards us through the Torah and mitzvos, that is what we are reflecting. Just like the moon reflects, we reflect also. That's supposed to be our persona. That's supposed to be the projection of every Jew is Torah mitzvos, and which negates the ego and negates our own personal projection of self, and reminds us that the number one thing we should be projecting is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shem Hashemogin Hashem Elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared to the sun in the Pasuk and Tehillim and Pei Dalet, and that is expressed and manifest in the relationship with Klal Yisrael, which is likened to the moon. And furthermore, the fact that the moon waxes and wanes every month, much like the ups and downs of Klal Yisrael throughout history, that our renewal will come at a time when the moon also reaches the complete renewal in the Geula, as we mentioned. And if you look carefully at the Pesukim that we say following the Bracha of Kiddush Levana, that's really a very consistent theme. And moreover, Aruch HaShulchan adds one more point, which I think less people are familiar with, in terms of the parallel between the moon and Klal Yisrael, is that even when it appears small or when it disappears completely at the beginning of the month and it's totally dark, the other side of the moon is actually still bright and reflecting the light that comes in its direction. We just can't see it because we're on the other side. But it is, as he describes it, it's Toyer al Eber Paneha Bimromim. There still is a brightness that is exuded by the moon that can be perceived in Shemayim, in the heavens, even if we can't see it. And that, in a sense, is also a symbol of Klal Yisrael. Even in Gauls, even in our downtimes, when it seems like there's darkness, from Hashem's perspective, the light has not dimmed. Okay, so that's in terms of the background. When do we say it exactly? So the brachas are recited at a time when the moon is shining, and one can benefit from the light of the moon. That's the occasion for making the bracha on the moon. And everything that comes with it in the text of the bracha, which we'll see, Mirz Hashem, the context, the occasion is when we benefit from the light of the moon. or at least we have the potential for benefiting from the light of the moon. So therefore, the postman say that one should not make the bracha until after Tzitzik Chavim, even though we know sometimes the moon is visible during the day. It can be seen during the Anashmashos very often, for sure, but it can't fully be appreciated even in such an area that would not be illuminated by street lights and so on, unless it's sufficiently dark in the sky. And we draw that line at Tzitzik Chavim. Interesting to note, the Chazal say that Hashem was a Mephias. He appeased the moon after shrinking it by giving it stars to accompany it at night. So it's only fitting that it's at Tzitzik Chavim that we determine the primary benefit that's received from the moon and the time that we begin saying the bracha. There's a discussion as to how long on a given night the window of opportunity extends. Let's say a person stays up all night and they're walking to the kotel from their hotel, from their yeshiva, and they realize, I didn't say Kiddush Levana. I'm on the way to Daven Vasikin at the kotel, and there it is. I see the moon on the way into the old city. So how long after Tzitzik Chavim can you say it on any given night? So strictly speaking, it can be said even a little bit after Los HaShachar, once we reach the time of Misha Yakir the next day. That's Al Pi Halacha, a new day regarding Talis and Tefillin and Misha Yakir, the time that you're able to recognize a friend of yours from a small distance of Dalet Amos. That's when, at least for some dinim, it is fully daytime, and therefore you should not, as far as light is concerned, and you should not say at that point any longer Kiddush Levana, even if it isn't yet sunrise. Although parenthetically, as we've discussed, it is halachically daytime for other dinim. Any mitzvah that is done during the day, like lulav and shofar, strictly speaking, if a person had no choice and they did it after Los HaShachar, and they're positive it was after Los HaShachar, they would be yosei even if it isn't after sunrise. We wait for sunrise because then there's no question. It's unambiguously daytime. But for this din, perhaps because of the light factor, even after Los HaShachar, it still is a little bit light in the sky. It's not quite light enough in the sky to negate the ability to say Kiddush Levana. Now, who's chayev? So men are of course chayev. Poskim discuss an interesting question, but boy, will soon become bar mitzvah, but in the interim, he has a chance to say Kiddush Levana at the normal time with everyone else. But you know, even though the bar mitzvah is not for a few more days, should he say it then, or should he wait a little bit, wait a couple days till he actually becomes bar mitzvah and perform the mitzvah as a full-fledged obligated citizen? So, of course, like other mitzvahs, there's a mitzvah of chinuch for him to recite the bracha, even though he isn't yet bar mitzvah. But we're suggesting maybe in this case it's better for him to wait. And indeed, Rabbi Avad Yosef says he should wait. Ksav Sofer writes that perhaps in such a case, when he's going to become bar mitzvah shortly anyway, maybe the father doesn't even have a mitzvah of chinuch because the son can perform the mitzvah on his own in a more complete fashion once the time of bar mitzvah arrives. However, Yishei Yisrael does quote from Rabbi Zalman and Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky as saying that one need not wait to perform the mitzvah. The entire institution of Kiddush Levana is midrabanan, and likewise any chiyuv that the bar mitzvah boy has before he becomes bar mitzvah is also midrabanan, as the mitzvah of chinuch is rabanan. So in essence, perhaps what they're saying is that it's no different before he's bar mitzvah, after he's bar mitzvah, the same heim ovum of heim ovum. This was the kiyum that they set in place for the child, even though he isn't bar mitzvah yet. And from Zalman tries to draw a parallel to this. He says we don't find, for example, let's say a boy is going to become bar mitzvah on the sixth day of Chanukah. So we don't say that he should wait to say the third bracha shachianu, not say the first night, second night, third night. He should wait until after his bar mitzvah. No, when it comes time to say shachianu with the other two brachas of Chanukah, he should say it at that point, even though we may imagine that there would be a greater kiyum when it comes by mitzvah, at least by a din d'rabbanan. That's not the case. Din d'oraisa, that's not true. We can talk about this another time, but that can arise if you have a bar mitzvah boy who, let's say, recited Brichas HaTorah in the morning, and then the night comes and he's now a bar mitzvah, right? His bar mitzvah was the following day. So let's say Wednesday is his bar mitzvah. Tuesday in the morning he recites Brichas HaTorah. Then Tuesday night, which is really Wednesday, in theory, now he's obligated as an adult, as a mivugar, as a bar mitzvah. So he hasn't yet performed the mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah, which is a daraisa. And let's say he wants to learn. Hopefully, he will learn that night, right? So maybe he would have to say Birchas HaTorah again. So some posts can recommend in that case he should have in mind to be yotzei the mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah when he says Avarabba prior to Shema. Avasolim prior to Shema in Marav, which we discussed the other day, can count for Birchas HaTorah even if it's not the normal structure of Birchas HaTorah that a person says every day. Women do not have the practice to recite Kiddush Levana. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. Mitzvah Hashem, just want to throw in one more point about what we're discussing. It's not even so simple for other reasons that a katan under the age of Bar Mitzvah should have to recite Kiddush Levana. The Mishnah Berurah discusses this possibility, and he sends us to Siman Ayin, which is in the first Chelek of Mishnah Berurah, and the laws of Kriya Shema, where we find a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos as to whether or not Rashi and Rabbi Tam, to be more specific, a machlokes Rishon whether or not a katan has a mitzvah of chinuch in Kriya Shema. What does that mean? Does he have a mitzvah chinuch Kriya Shema? We teach a child to say Shema Yisrael Shema Chod from the time he's able to speak. So that's true. That's Kabbalah's Omal Chashamayim. Even women who don't have a mitzvah of Kriya Shema, because the mitzvah says Shema Grama twice a day in the morning and the evening, they still have a mitzvah to be makaba Omal Chashamayim, and they should say at least the first pasuk of Shema, or at the very least just conjure up those thoughts and feelings of Kabbalah's Omal Chashamayim in their heads, even if they don't actually have a mitzvah of Kriya Shema. The same thing should be true in terms of the chinuch of a child. Some point during the day, he should have to acknowledge the malchus of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Why shouldn't there be a formal mitzvah of reading Shema for a child? Why is it any different than other mitzvahs that the father has to educate him and help him practice before it becomes bar mitzvah? So Rashi says because the father is usually not around the house at the time of Kriya Shema. In the morning, he's in shul, or maybe he's off to work, and the kid usually sleeps a little bit later. At night also, maybe the father, especially if it's the sun sets earlier that time of year, the father might still be out in the fields working on the farm before the kid goes to sleep. Whatever the case may be, it's not unusual to imagine that the father will be out of the house in the morning, out of the house at the night. So Rashi says perhaps Chazal did not create a chiyuv for a father to be mechanech his child in Kriya Shema because the hours that the mitzvah can be performed are limiting and the father might not be around. So Mishnah Berurah says, the same thing may be true. Other posts come before the Mishnah Berurah, same thing may be true when it comes to Kiddush Levana. It's a nighttime mitzvah, maybe the kid's already asleep. Maybe the father is not going to be home, he's going to be staying in shul, so perhaps there's no mitzvah of chinuch. So even though he suggests that, Lamaisa, Shulchan Aruch says, we should try to be machmir for Rabbeinu Tam by Kriya Shema and make sure midin chinuch the child says Kriya Shema. And likewise, we would assume the same should be true for Kiddush Levana to the extent that it is possible. And beyond that, some postmen do say that for sure by the age of 12, then we have to imagine that the chinuch will apply. Maybe a combination of the fact that the child now is getting really close to bar mitzvah and he needs to be prepared to perform all the mitzvahs he's going to do. And perhaps by the age of 12, he is up and he is attending minyan and he is around his father even in the earlier hours, even in the later hours when the father otherwise may not be home when he is at a younger stage in life.